Blog Talk Radio.
The communists hate that hymn, don't they? The streets are guarded. The streets of heaven are guarded. The anti-God, the anti-country communists, they hate that hymn. One day it'll be banned. They'll make you apologize for singing it. You'll get a fine. And as they pull the plug on your grandpa's feeding tube. Welcome to the Spirit of America and the Spirit of America Party.com. But all weekend I've been talking to Jimmy from Brooklyn. And he's really, he's going crazy trying to expose the threat of communism in the United States. And sadly, nobody knows it. Nobody knows how great a threat the communist in the infiltration in the United States is. So I try to lure Jimmy on my show. He'll talk to me for an hour and a half, but he won't come on the show. So I called him real quickly tonight. And I gave him the show phone number. I said, call me. But he won't do it. But I did set up for his call, and I'm going to keep harassing him until I get him, because everybody needs a basic primer on communism. I had a kid in the store today. He's a college graduate. Took him 5 months to find a job. He's driving a truck. And he's got a bachelor's degree. And He tells me it used to take him 3 weeks to get a job. Now it takes him 5 months. And the kids that are coming out of school are screwed. They have nothing. I says, wait till they find out how much they're going to have to pay in taxes. You know, this young generation is really going to get it in the neck. And the best that the Democrats can do is pay off Mary Landrieu $300 million with your money, and Chuck Schumer is tonight... He's advertising frequent flyer miles. Let me give you a tune, and I'll tell you about my Animoto YouTube show that I put up on YouTube.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party in the Spirit of America Party book.com. We're going to try and have a good show for you tonight. Our topic is communism. And I'm going to see if I can get Jimmy from Brooklyn to call in. Jimmy from Brooklyn has spent his whole life fighting communism. He goes to all their rallies, he takes notes, he documents everything, and he knows how the communists work their trade. And unfortunately for us, we have no idea how dangerous the threat of communism is, even in our own government. So let's see if I can get Jimmy on the show.
Okay, we won't have Jimmy on the show, but I'm going to keep hounding him. So I'm going to turn and speak for somebody who can no longer speak for himself. I'm going to speak for a federal prison guard from a downtown Manhattan jail cell. His name is Louis Pepe. Louis Pepe is one of the first in New York Al-Qaeda casualties. He was guarding two Al-Qaeda, and he was overpowered, and they stabbed him with a sharpened hairbrush that they had bought in the commissary as they were getting their civil rights. And they stabbed Louis Pepe into 3 inches of his brain. And today, Louis sits in the dock. So nobody's speaking for Louis. Louis is one of, you know, the silent majority. Well, we also have silent casualties. So you just think about it.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. It is reported tonight that President Obama bin Laden has signed 5 executive orders. That's 4 more than most presidents have done in their first few days in office. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. But 3 of them are related to the protection of terrorists at the expense of the American people. So I'm going to give you a deja vu, a rendezvous, and I'm going to tell you that everything goes back to the Clintons, who are now in power again. Obama is not in power. He's not his own man. The Clintons are calling all the shots, and all the Clinton termites are calling all the shots. And I'm going to talk to you about a guy who's forgotten. He's one of the first victims of terrorism on the Clinton watch. And his name is Louis Pepe. He was a 300-pound federal prison guard in New York City. Okay. And today, he feels his way around an empty room because he's blind. Not only is he blind, but he's subject to seizures. His life is not worth living. He has to reinforce hope every day. Okay, he was the victim of a double-teamed attack while he was escorting 2 terrorists who were responsible for the World Trade Center bombing that Clinton ignored. Okay, and these 2 terrorists were living a cozy life in a New York City jail, and they didn't even have inspections in their prison cell, and they didn't toss their bunks because they had rights, just like the Gitmo murderers are going to have rights over your rights. Your right to live and survive. So Louis Pepe was escorting 2, not 1, but 2 terrorists back to their cells. And one of them sprayed his face with hot sauce and blinded him. And the other one took a comb that he bought in the commissary and sharpened it down to a dagger and stabbed him in the eye 3 inches into his brain. Okay? And when the FBI came to see the video, because there's videos in all of the prison walks, There was no video. How's that? No video. One guard with two criminals. One unarmed guard with two criminals. So, Louis Pepe got no justice. But the sad part about it is, when Louis Pepe went to court to listen to the sentencing of the terrorist that stabbed his life away, the judge said that it wasn't an act of terror. I think her name is Brenda Batts, and her middle name is Ding. And when Pepe protested, she had him removed from the courtroom. I'm surprised she didn't try and stab him in the other eye. So I'm going to read you some excerpts on the reporting that took place at the time that this happened. So hang in there a second. If you Google Louis Pepe, you'll get Louis Pepe, the actor, for pages and pages. But Louis Pepe, the victim, the all-around American good guy, you'll be hard to find him. Soon he will disappear as the communists rewrite history. Louis will be gone from Google Earth. Prison guard claims government is sanitizing his brutalization. This is from a left-wing article, okay? Louis Pepe was a federal prison guard at MCC Manhattan in 2000, the year 2000, when he was brutally attacked, stabbed in the eye, and more, by two of the defendants in the case involving the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Africa. And one of the attackers, Mamdou Mahmoud Salim, was reported to be an associate of Osama bin Laden, who Clinton never got. But he went around asking, when is Bush going to get bin Laden for 8 years? Salim gets a sentence Monday, and Pepe plans to be there. He is outraged that Salim will only get 17 to 21 years for the assault. That's murder to me. You take a man's eye, what is the saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You take a man's eye, you take his life. Even though he is facing trial and a possible life sentence on conspiracy charges for the 1998 attack. We can't say we blame him. If you read the account of the attack, it sounds horrific. But what's up with Pepe's claim that the U.S. government has downplayed the attack and cast him in a role that suggests he was careless in allowing the attack to happen? This is one sad story, and here's some of it. In an interview Sunday with the Associated Press, who does not love America, Pepe sat in his wheelchair in a small room in a Queens house where he lives with his parents. Pepe and the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what Pepe said the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what happened on the 1st of November. This guy gets stabbed in the eye on All Saints Day. Portraying the assault as quick and almost entirely Salim's doing after the guard failed to handcuff the inmates. Pepe said he will tell the judge how he properly handcuffed the inmates before they slipped free, blinded him with hot sauce, beat him repeatedly, and even tried to rape him before stabbing him to get his keys in a bid to free other suspected terrorists. Both of them did it, not just one, Pepe said excitedly. His right eye wide open and a piece of gauze resting in the socket where his left eye used to be. Pepe said the attack lasted an hour rather than 20 minutes that prison authorities maintain it took for help to arrive from less isolated parts of Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center. Pepe described how he resisted throughout the attack, even giving his inmates his house keys when they demanded his prison keys. He said the inmates scrawled the sign of the cross in his blood on his chest before they left him for dead. In the end, Pepe walked out of the cell block, the sharpened comb still stuck in his eye. He said Sunday that he had warned the government before the attack not to let the terrorism inmates bunk together or be issued sturdy plastic combs and condiments such as hot sauce and honey. For more than 2 years, Pepe was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. You don't even know this guy. You don't even know this act of terror took place downtown New York City. When they demanded his prison keys. For more than 2 years, he was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke, and he left him partially paralyzed, along with pneumonia, a collapsed lung, seizures, infections, a blood clot, and high fevers. He underwent brain surgery and spent 3 weeks in a coma. He still lives in a modest home where he once took care of his ailing parents, who now take care of him, despite their ages of 79 and 80. "We want his name cleared," says Pepe's father, Frank Pepe, emphasizing the family's discontent with the government's level of support for his son. "We want the house fixed. I'm not going to live forever. I want him set up so he's comfortable." Pepe sleeps on a small donated bed and maneuvers his wheelchair across worn floors. Almost no one visits him. Pepe said his pain from the collapsed left side of his head to the stroke-damaged legs is chronic. "Every day it hurts so much that it feels like I'm going to be dead." And we hope that the truth comes out. How's that? Okay, that's one article. Hang in there, I'll give you somebody else's article. This I found on Federal Jack. Panel rules a jail stabbing constituted terrorism. New York Times, a reputed former leader of Al-Qaeda, who was serving 32 years in prison for stabbing a jail guard in 2000, must be resentenced, a federal appeals panel in Manhattan ruled on Tuesday, because a judge wrongly concluded that the man's crime did not meet the legal standard for terrorism. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism, and this is what's going to go on here in the new, all over the country when these Al-Qaeda boys leave Gitmo. And you know what? They're going to all come back to haunt us. Whether they come back in Afghanistan and kill more Americans, or Iraq, or in Djibouti, or in New York City and in Texas, they're coming. The federal prosecutors, they have a life's work. It's their life's work to kill Americans. They want to put the cross in blood on your chest. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism had sought a life sentence for the defendant, Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. Officials have described him as a founder of Al-Qaeda and a former top aide to Osama bin Laden. He pleaded guilty to stabbing the guard, Louis Pepe, in 2002. Prosecutors said the stabbing was part of a fruitless plan to take hostages and escape from the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan, downtown New York, and nobody knew what was going on. And nobody knew on September 10, 2001, there was anything going on. Mr. Pepe, who was stabbed in the eye, was left with severe brain damage. At the time of the stabbing, Mr. Salem was awaiting trial in a terrorist conspiracy case stemming from the 98 bombings of two American embassies, which Clinton ignored. I still remember the people in Kenya and Tanzania. I seen 500 blacks sitting in blood. They were just passers-by, in which 224 people were killed. He later testified that he had become frustrated with his lawyers and stabbed Mr. Pepe so he could take his keys, unlock a visitor's room, and attack his lawyers so they would withdraw from his case. In sending the case back for a new sentence, a three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit held unanimously that the attack included the required elements to be considered a crime in the furtherance of terrorism under the sentencing guidelines at the time. Judge John Walker Jr. wrote the decision, which was joined by Judges John O. Newman and Sonia Sotomayor. Eileen L. Trotter, Mr. Pepe's sister, said after being told of the ruling, "This is definitely our early Christmas gift." She said that her brother continues to improve with the assistance of physical therapy and treatments. And Richard B. Lind, who represents Mr. Salem in the assault case, said he planned to ask Judge Deborah A. Batts to impose the same 32-year sentence on his client rather than a harsher one. So Deborah Batts is the bastard that sold out America, and she's a judge. And how did she get to be a judge? Who wasn't paying attention? And here's the story that took place at the hearing. As attacker is sentenced, a victim vents disgust and is ejected. Now remember, Deborah Batts is sitting on the bench. Batty Batts. A former Manhattan jail guard who was stabbed in the eye with a sharpened comb by a top aide to Osama bin Laden in 2000 was ejected from his attacker's sentencing hearing yesterday. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're out there on the battlefield, we don't need prisoners. We do not need to make a citizen's arrest. We need to win the war, and the way you win the war is you kill the enemy. And they came on the battlefield to kill you. Make sure that they leave the same way that you don't leave, the way they want you to leave. You make sure you take care of number one, and you finish him off on the battlefield. After he repeatedly shouted at the defendant and the judge. So Pepe got upset at the hearing. Dozens of his fellow correction officers walked out in protest from the hearing, at which the defendant was sentenced to 32 years in prison. You are no good. Do you understand me? The guard Louis Pepe yelled at Mamdou Mahmoud Salim. The defendant, why don't you kill me? I am dead. The judge, Deborah Batts of Federal District Court, ejected Mr. Pepe after he had been warned several times about outbursts that occurred outside the formal time allotted for his comments. As United States Marshals escorted him out of the courtroom in his own country, Mr. Pepe's voice, I put that in there, Mr. Pepe's voice echoed in the marble hall of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. At the time of the attack at the correctional center in Lower Manhattan, Salim was awaiting charges of participating in a terrorism conspiracy. He's a founding member of Al-Qaeda, and he pleaded guilty to sharpening a comb and stabbing it into Pepe's eye. The stabbing was part of what prosecutors said was a larger plot to brutalize even more people, including Mr. Salim's lawyer, whom he wanted replaced with new counselors. Mr. Salim sharpened the comb using the underside of his concrete desk in his cell at the correctional center. He used the comb to attack Mr. Pepe in order to seize the keys to 10 South, the wing of the correctional center. Prosecutors have said he intended to free his co-defendants and take hostages. There was nobody watching out for Pepe. There wasn't nobody bird-dogging Pepe. He's cunning, he's devious, he's brutal, a prosecutor, Robert Bueller, told Judge Batts in seeking a life sentence. Officer Pepe was truly a nice man and a good person, and Salim picked him for that very reason. He lost his left eye because of the stabbing and some of the sight in his right eye. He bears a scar across the left side of his head above his ear. He has lost much of his movement in his right arm and leg, and 70% of his ability to speak. That could be your son that you got to take care of once these nuts turn all of the terrorists loose. And they're going to turn them loose. He was in court yesterday in a wheelchair to give what is referred to by the court system as a victim's impact statement. At times rambling and incomprehensible during the statement, Mr. Pepe raised his voice and banged his palm on the table from which he spoke. He repeatedly pointed to Mr. Salim, who held his head low. "Have you really ever looked?" he said, pointing to his left eye socket. "There's nothing in there." Mr. Pepe cannot read anymore, his sister Eileen Trotter said in a written statement. She gave to the court and the news media that she used the bright red images drawn on yellow paper to help Mr. Pepe remember what he wanted to say yesterday. Mr. Pepe described the torturous beating with punches and kicks after he had fallen to the ground, blinded by hot sauce. Mr. Solomon, his cellmate, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, his co-defendant in the embassy bombings, squirted into his face. At one point, he said he thought, "Oh God, please kill me. What did I do?" Mr. Pepe asked Judge Batts, "If you can, make it never, never, never," a reference, it seemed, to when Mr. Salim should be released from prison. And then later, Mr. Salem, Richard B. Lynn, enraged Mr. Pepe when he suggested that there was no prolonged torture on the day of the stabbing. Mr. Lynn also argued against a prison sentence that would exceed the federal guidelines, adding that Mr. Salem, who pleaded guilty to conspiracy and attempted murder, could have killed Mr. Pepe but did not. What, are you kidding me? At this point, Mr. Pepe shouted no from the audience. The judge asked for silence, and someone in the courtroom gallery protested, "Let him speak." As Pepe began to speak, Judge Batts asked the Marshals Service to step in and remove Mr. Pepe from the courtroom. Now, this is the guy who should be governor of the state of New York. So, you know what? He's out on disability. He was making $47,000 a year, and he took care of his aging parents. How's that? And now he's on two-thirds of $47,000. He sits blind in a room. And here's an article from CNN. Prosecutors don't have video of jail stabbing. When Federal Corrections Officer Louis Pepe was stabbed in the eye inside the maximum security wing, of Manhattan's federal jail last November, the video cameras were on, as they are 24 hours a day, the monitor screens working. But when FBI agents investigated the attack, which allegedly came at the hands of terrorist conspirators, what could have been powerful evidence did not exist. There was no videotape showing the hallways and cells at the time of the attack. A federal jury heard on Thursday as the Pepe stabbing was recounted for the second day. Government prosecutors are offering the incident as proof of the future probable danger from Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, the convicted Tanzania embassy bomber who faces the death penalty. And Mohammed shared a jail cell at the time with his inmate. So the two guys were in the same cell. Boy, that really makes sense. How's that for security? I bet you Justin Volpe doesn't get to share a cell with anybody. How sad. Absolutely sad. The comb-turned weapon was purchased at the jail commissary. According to prosecution evidence, FBI Joel Felsch told the jury that agents found commissary receipts inside the inmate cell indicating that Salem had purchased two combs and a brush, and that Mohammed had purchased two brushes since the beginning of their incarceration. Oh, they must do a lot of hairdos. The government alleges Salem also stabbed one of the officers responding to the Pepe attack with a brush sharpened into a shank. Agents found 6 handwritten scraps of paper inside the Mohammed Salem cell, but no agents could recall the note's exact locations. For example, under which bed were they found, and the only fingerprints and palm prints detected on the notes belonged to Salem and FBI fingerprint analyst Charles Akubelis. And they went into their own routine, we're Muslims and we're being discriminated against. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. So you met Louis Pepe. How do you feel about him? Would you like to go visit him? Where is he today? Is he happier or sadder? How do you think he felt on 911? Do you think he tore his heart out on 911? Listening to those people screaming, whose screams were silenced in a minute and a half, and we got a president that just has decided he's going to turn them all loose. He's going to give them back to other countries. Who's he going to give them to? Yemen? They go home for lunch in Yemen. How can he give him to a country that tortures worse than we do? How can he do a Pontius Pilate? The man is a fool. He's a dupe. And he's done bad news today. And many a black soldier will die because of it, along with their white brothers.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath have stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His face is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. And today, the Senate is staying late, and they'll make up for it by taking 3 days off next week. They're staying late. To 8 o'clock, they're going to work. They're going to burn the midnight wax because they have no oil. Yeah, what a joke. And what they've done is they've taken all the tax money that you have been good enough to give them, and they're bribing each other with those tax dollars. They're giving Mary Landrieu $100,000 to make sure she votes for the health care plan.
$300 million.
And they're giving another one, I forget who it is, $75 million, to make sure she votes for the health care plan. It's really wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. We can't get any better than this unless we go completely communist and we invite the Red Army to march in the next Veterans Day parade. And speaking of the Red Army, I spoke to Jimmy from Brooklyn last night for an hour and a half. He was venting. And I got to tell you, the guy is a living education. And I said to him, Jimmy, the average American today has no idea whatsoever how dangerous the threat of communism is and how they've plied their trade in the United States since 1945 and before.
and before, actually 1919. And Jimmy is just a plethora. It's one of those college words you have to spend $40,000 to learn. He has a collage that's only $20,000 in college. He has a collage of documentation about how the Soviets use Afro-Leninists, Homo-Leninists. He goes through a whole litany of all of the groups that they've infiltrated and used. And I'll tell you, I can almost point out a communist when I see them. I just got to hear them for about a minute, and I can get my label machine out and slap one on. I'm going to try and get Jimmy on the show. He won't come on my show because I don't have enough listeners, which I think is kind of silly. I told him, I said, Jimmy, Jesus only started with 12, and one of them betrayed him. And he goes, yeah, and Castro started with 8. How's that? Jimmy says that Latin America, the Catholic Church in Latin America, has been infiltrated by communism. And I got my eyes opened when I heard the president of Brazil say the problem with the world is there's too many white men. And so I stopped singing Brazil. But I do like Brazil. I like the music. I like Brazilians. Some of my best friends are Brazilians. You know who I stole that from? Hillary Clinton, when she said some of her best friends are the unborn. But seriously, I do like the Brazilians, and as a matter of fact, we have them in the family. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting sugar from Brazil this week. And a Count Basie album that was recorded in Brazil by a guy who pirates Count Basie music. And the person who was delivering the Count Basie CD to me, he won't give it to me because he's enjoying the music. So I have to let him know I can burn a new CD and he can have a copy. But I'm told that the sugar that's coming in is so sweet, you only need 1 tablespoon where you might take 3 of the American sugar that's marketed. So if that's true, and this sugar is, as they say in German, ausgezeichnet, which means excellent, or in Arabic, mumtaz, I'm going to see if we can market it, and we'll call it sweet sugar. And then you won't have to take that rat poison. Oh! But speaking of rat poison, I see that MSNBC is really going after Sarah Palin. So I sent Sarah Palin an email, and I told her that the best photo op that I saw Sarah Palin in was on her husband's boat pulling the net up and bringing the fish in. And I said, I like that photo of bringing in the fish. And I said, look in the net. Oh, it's Keith Olbermann. Holy mackerel. And the other photo that I love that gets a lot of votes, I'm sure gets a lot of votes, is her with her baby in a shopping cart at the supermarket, picking something off the shelf, putting it into the basket as she talks to a constituent. How's that? That, I don't know if that picture was taken when she was mayor or governor, but that picture says 1,000 words. Like the Chinese say, one picture is worth 1,000 words. And I thought that was fantastic. And she needs more of those photo ops. She needs the working girl of photo ops. And then we can take one of Hillary trying on her Mandarin jacket. Miss America. New York is a doormat state. We are the biggest suckers. You talk about suckers. New York is a sucker state. Absolute sucker. They had Hillary running for the Senate. So they took a picture of her upstate listening to the farmers. And then Chuck Schumer followed up. He went up to talk to the farmers, and he was in a barn, and he got cow manure on his Gucci's, and he hasn't been back since. Chuck Schumer, the defender of New York. But Hillary, she went and listened. And then she listened to upstate Hasidim, and she said, I'm listening to you, and you want to get a crooked rabbi out of jail. Okay, you know what we'll do? You vote for me, I'll get the crooked rabbi out of jail. I have influence. And so the Hasidim, the follower of the Ten Commandments, who teach their children to obey the Ten Commandments, lied and stole to elect Hillary Clinton. How would you like to be a daughter of one of those Hasidim sitting in the kitchen listening to the men in the dining room talking about we have to do this, knowing what she knows and what she's been taught about the Ten Commandments, knowing her father has lengthened his phylacteries and is a hypocrite? Yeah. You think about that. You know, it's not who you betray, it's who you betray. So Hillary got the vote, and she said, I'm going to serve the state of New York. And she wiped her feet on the New York doormat, and that was the last we seen of her, except she showed up when the catastrophe check, her and Chuck Schumer showed up to cash the catastrophe check from the 911 government rescue money. Yeah, they were there to take credit for it. Yes, we got this money. We got this money from all those dead people in downtown New York. And Chuck Schumer stood on the DNA dust and said, I love this city. And then he turns around and he goes, I can be bought for $75 million. Give me $75 million and we'll stage Al-Qaeda Part 3 right here in New York. Did Chuck Schumer say, I'm absolutely opposed to Al-Qaeda coming? No, he said, give me $75 million to keep my mouth shut. And that's what they gave him. It's part of the, by the way, I don't know if you know it or not, but this health plan that they're voting on tonight, those five Al-Qaeda are covered. They're gonna get the health care benefits also. You can think about it, man. Your government has, they don't even, they play with you. They toy with you like a cat with a mouse. You have no say in this country. You have no freedom. You can't even say the word communist without looking over your shoulder. But I can. I say it all the time. I bandy it about. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back. Oh, by the way, one of the things that Jimmy told me that I wasn't aware of, and he's a great source of communist information, Bella Abzug, that she was like the Madeleine Albright of New York, used to wear the big hats. He said she was a communist, and that she voted for Hitler. She endorsed Adolf Hitler until Hitler went to Russia, and when Hitler went to Russia, she turned against him. There she is, looking out for New York. Rest in peace, Bella. Sorry, we're out of ice water. By the way, I'm looking for a nativity scene. I want one that is taken in Afghanistan, Iraq, or Djibouti, Kuwait, Qatar, anywhere where there are American troops and where there are locals that have sheep, camels, a donkey, and a crush-like surrounding. And I want at least three troopers kneeling in front of the manger. with their weapons. And if you got a connection, you can get me that picture. I will make you famous. I said to Jimmy, towards the close of the phone call, I said, Jimmy, we've been chatting for an hour and a half. We could have been doing this on my radio show. And he said, well, how many listeners you got? I said, well, I had as many as 40. I'm down to about 4. And he says, well, how come? I says, I'm not marketing it right. So I figured the only way I'm going to get Jimmy on the show is I'm going to have to open up the show, and then I'm going to have to call Jimmy and say, Jimmy, call me back at this number, and when he calls in, then I'll tell him he's on the air. So I'm going to try that. And then, of course, if it doesn't work out, then I'll just go to my pre-recorded show. And so in order to try it, I'm going to do half-hour segments. So every time I start a half-hour segment, I'm calling Jimmy first. And if I don't get Jimmy, then I'll do the half-hour segment. And we'll see what happens. I feel that the American people, especially the young, have no idea what the threat of communism is all about. They don't know how many freedoms they've lost already. If you're born into slavery, you don't know anything else but slavery. When somebody takes away your freedom, you feel it. You fight to get it back. But if you weren't born in freedom, you have no idea what freedom is. And this country is divided. We're split right down the middle. And it's not good. We are wide open for anything. We've got too many politicians that are millionaires, too many politicians that are lawyers. We don't need all of those guys. You see that 20,000 pages of the health care bill? 20 pounds of health care? That's because of lawyers. Normal people wouldn't do that. It would be plain language. It'd be about 6 pages. Give this guy insurance, everything he wants. That's all you got to say. 1 page. You know, it's really sad. Elderly people that visit me, they don't know me. You know, we meet as strangers. And they don't know, they feel that they're confined in their thoughts because they know they're not thinking mainstream. And of course, when they try to explain what they know from yesterday compared to today, everybody tells them, well, you're old and you're old-fashioned and you're out of the mainstream. But sadly, they know the difference between yesterday and today. And they'll all tell you they feel sorry for their grandkids. So when in the course of a conversation, they want to say what's in their heart, but they're afraid that they're going to be chastised for it. So they keep their tongue in cheek, you know. But when I see it and I sense it, I feed it. And I had a guy in, his name was Ray, and he's retired. He's a senior citizen. And the common complaint among all senior citizens is that we've destroyed our industry. Never forget, all these senior citizens, they all started out as working stiffs. They all started out doing what they call N-work, if you know what I mean, right? But the one thing they have in common with any American is that they know how to work. They have pushed their back into the wheel. They know what it's like to struggle. Many of them are from the Depression, the times of the Depression. They saw their parents struggle. There were no credit cards in the 50s. There was no such thing as a credit card in the 50s. And if you talk to anybody at that time, they would tell you, why would I buy something on credit. When if I can't afford to pay it, I don't need it. I can't afford it. And that's the way they felt. If you don't have the money to buy it, don't buy it. And they're the ones that built the industries in this country. And they're the ones that worked the coal mines. They're the ones that organized the unions. I know of a relative of mine who helped organize the TWU. He was Mike Quill's right-hand man. He used to, they used to hold meetings. This is before the union came to be in the U.S. in the New York subway system. They used to hold meetings in my Aunt Katie's house on Collier Avenue in, up in the Bronx. And they used to meet on Sunday. And the union dues were 10 cents in a handshake. In a handshake. If you got caught, you were fired. And my father told me he can remember being followed to the bathroom by a guy with a stopwatch. So that these people, they know, they've been to the mountain. They know hard times. They know suffering. And what they see today, they don't like. So I try to cheer them up a little bit. I said, the kids today, they don't even know how to tie their shoes. You see them. They walk around. Their feet are coming out of their sneakers. And I says, and they can't even keep their pants up. And they don't even know how to put their hat on straight. And he got a big laugh out of that. So I made his day. He finally found somebody that was simpatico. But it's really sad. And I do feel sorry for my grandchildren, because this Democrat Party, it is as close to communist as you can get. And don't think that because Nancy Pelosi is a millionaire or a billionaire that she's not a communist. You don't have to be a poor to be a communist. George Soros is a communist. As a matter of fact, Jimmy from Brooklyn says George Soros is KGB. How do you like that? But who's going to listen to the rantings of one conservative guy who's been labeled an anti-Semite? He's been labeled a racist. But they don't. You haven't noticed that nobody goes around labeling anybody anti-Catholic? Yeah. I wonder why. Oh, because there's no anti-Catholics out there. Yeah. Yeah, tell me that one. Anyway, let me see what we got going here. We'll give you a tune. Hang in there. Here I am talking about Jimmy from Brooklyn, and when I went to pick the break to put up a tune, who calls me? Jimmy from Brooklyn. He mentioned the name. You may want to check it out. The guy's name is Victor Bott, VikTorBoot. He's a big arms dealer. And he was caught in a sting operation in Thailand. And in October, Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder asked the Thai government to put him in American custody to come to the United States to stand trial. And the Thai government wouldn't do it. And Jimmy thinks it's because they've been in, either the Russians bought them off, or they intimidated the Thai government. And Jimmy also says that the KGB and the Russian mafia are they work hand in glove. And he cited the example that this Victor Bott, who was a big arms dealer, was able to move weapons using Soviet aircraft and Soviet ships. Then he mentioned that a couple of years ago, there was an American observer in a Canadian helicopter outside of Puget Sound, observing a Russian ship, a merchant ship, called Kapitan Man, K-A-P-I-T-A-N, Man. And the Russian merchant ship was tracking American submarines entering and leaving a port. And he took pictures of the this American on the Canadian helicopter, took pictures of the Soviet merchant ship. And while he was taking pictures, they shot a laser beam and damaged his eyesight. And the Department of Defense investigated, which is your typical government investigation, and said there was no connection. And Jimmy also said that this ship, Der Capitan, he read in Reader's Digest that it was also delivering heroin, has delivered heroin in the past. So there's a big, Jimmy feels there's a big connection between red cocaine and the downturn, the doping up of American kids. And God knows, 1 out of 5 is a junkie today. What will it be in 10 years? 2 out of 5?